Take your Bible. Let's see here. Where can we go? Where can we start out? Turn to Isaiah 26:9. Isaiah 26:9. And then we'll just kind of go through the scriptures. I have a family watches our ministry. They've been doing it for years. They send me interesting things they see going on in the world. They sent me an email with a quote from a nationally known pastor. And when I saw it, it made me mad. Hurt my feelings. Okay? And I asked them, I said, now, give me verification of this. And they sent me the website that they heard it from. What they did was they transcribed exactly what he said. They wrote it down. And said, Pastor, he said this. Here's the sermon. You can go listen to him when he said it. And it makes me mad. But it shows you the state and the condition that our churches are in all over this country. And I can tell you all over the world. They have abandoned the regard and the love and their trust in the Word of God. I have not heard, and I'm sure they're out there, I have not heard a pastor say it as clearly and honestly as he was. This man really believes what he said. That's the scary part. And I've not heard anybody just come right out and say, boom. By the way, this same pastor is also one of these, they call them gay-affirming pastors. This is a gay-affirming church. He preached a message because he had a family in the church, and the man had left his wife to go be with another man, and now all of them were coming to the church. And this pastor preached how bad it was that there was adultery being committed, and basically what he needs to do is divorce this wife so he can be with this other man. Did not condemn the homosexuality, did not cast out the spirit of Sodom, just said, you need to do this, you need to divorce your wife so you can live with this other man. So the two go hand in hand. You study the vine of Sodom, Deuteronomy 32, and you'll see it. All right? Isaiah 26:9, are you there? Say amen. Boy, my mouth is dry as cotton this morning, so you pray for me. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Now, I want you to think about that. Your soul has a desire. Your soul is where your feelings are, where your emotions are. It's where your sense of self is. It is your life. It is who you are. And the message this morning is we're going to call it soul food. And I want to ask you the question, have you fed your soul? We're always good to feed our bellies. Put good things in it. You go to Branson, there's a buffet about every block down 76 Highway. I mean, they're everywhere. And I'm just not a buffet person anymore. Okay? But it's there. But I'm still getting a little hungry every now and then. I think, boy, I would like to have that. I want that. I want that. But ask the question, do you feed your soul? With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are on the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Where does morality come from? Does it come from just the whims of people who say, well, this is right in our eyes? Or as this, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to tell you the name of this guy in a little bit. Do we just, the pastors, do they just come up with whatever they feel is right? And obviously this man, this pastor, and he's not alone in this country anymore. This pastor will tell people it's wrong to commit this sin, but that sin over there, these two men being together, God made them that way and we want that, that's okay. Is that where our morality comes from? Does what you and your family do, is it right or wrong based upon how you see the world and how everybody else is? Or is it right or wrong based upon what the Word of God says? See, if we don't have a rule book, in our nature is a desire to live however, whatever pleases us in our flesh. Do you believe that? That's what's in our flesh. Our flesh is constantly craving things in this world, and 9 times out of 10, it's craving things that we should not have. But this world doesn't see it that way anymore. They don't believe that anymore. When I go to bed at night, I want to have a desire to live the next day better than I live today. I want God to help me tomorrow morning. Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning. I want God to work on me. I want God to straighten me out. I want God to show me what's right and to help me do what's right. But I have the same struggle as you do, and as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. So it's always going to be a battle. And people go out and they commit various sins. And then what we do is we try to justify them. We know in our heart that they're wrong. God didn't even have to tell us that. We just know in our heart certain things are wrong. Taking something that doesn't belong to you, we just know that's wrong. Lying to cover up something we did, we know that's wrong too. Your body knows that's wrong. That's what a lie detector test does. It measures temperature. It measures heartbeat. Measures movements that you make. Your body, your conscience is witnessing against you while you're trying to tell a lie. You know it's not right. Cheating on taxes, cheating at work, cheating in your spouse. These things, we know they're wrong. Lying, like David did. Tried to cover it up. Had a man killed to cover up his iniquity. He knew it was wrong. So, where does our rules come from? Where does our righteousness come from? Where do our moralities come from? If I stand up here and you hear me say, sodomy is a sin against Almighty God, I'm not just doing that. You can label me with hate all you want to. But when did following after God's righteousness and God's Word become hate? If I don't go along with every little nasty thing going on in this world, all of a sudden now I'm accused of hate. Accused of being a racist or a homophobe or whatever. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Now, you might want to do this. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 42. There's a couple places there that I want to get started on. You get there and we'll read them and then we will go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Phil and Sherry, I appreciate that picture. I really do. That blessed my heart. That's the way to when I go deer hunting. I think last year and the year before that, I always try to have a signal on my iPad so I can watch the service. And we did that one year. We'd done hunting that morning. We sat around the fire, and me and the boys, and we just sat there and watched Brother Ron preach, and it was good. It was a blessing. Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So I really appreciate that. Now, Psalm chapter 42, are you there? Say amen. As the heart, and what it means, what a heart is, that's like a deer. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. We're talking about just as in your body, so also the soul requires nourishment. I'm up here this morning. My mouth is dry. I need water. I'm trying to put the water in. And we don't think about it this way, but I'm telling you, it's more real than your stomach wanting food. It's more real than your desire to drink water. By the way, have you ever asked yourself the question, what is it in my body that signals to me that I need water? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about, and man, I know when we get hungry, your belly just starts going, rawr. But how do we know that we need to drink water? What signals is our body, can we pinpoint, can we absolutely define and pinpoint the area of our body that feels like it needs water? Now, I don't. just for some reason, I know I need water. Does that sound familiar to everybody? How do you know when you're thirsty? I don't know. I just know that I need water. Same way with your soul. We don't think about it very much. But if, as we've been learning, if your soul is actually the most important part of you and who you are, if your soul is thirsty or hungry, and it does get thirsty and hungry, if it is, do you feed it? And I came across, as I had put this together here several weeks ago. We got home last night and I was going through my notes, and I saw something last night that kind of shook me a little bit. Who in here knows what a famine is? We're going to talk about that. And it shook me. Okay? Times I didn't read the Bible. Times I didn't pray. Times I didn't let God talk to me and deal with me. It scared me a little bit. In verse 2, he said, My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is important to you because there is going to come a time, my friend, that you will stand and appear before the righteous judge. And He's going to pull out a list of everything that you've done wrong in your life. I'm not looking forward to that day. I believe with all my heart that Christ has washed my sins away. Somebody say amen. But the prospect that maybe He didn't or whatever still gets in your head every now and then. Is God going to hold me accountable? Let's go to the Lord and pray. You pray for me this morning. Pray that I'll be able to deliver this. Pray that God will bless it. God will bless it here. God will bless it in people's living rooms or in their car this morning. Pray that God will bless it out in Kenya. Heavenly Father, I love You and I thank You, God, for everything You've done for me. Thank You, Lord, for the blessings that You have been to me in my life. I thank You for my wife. Lord, I just thank You for the days that we got to spend together this week. Lord, I pray, God, that You would just minister to her, give her a double blessing. Lord, I wouldn't be here today without her, and I thank You for that. I thank You, Lord, for all my family, my girls, my boys. Thank You, God, for the blessing, being able to share my life with them, to be part of their life, and all their family, Lord, and their grandchildren, all their husbands and wives. I thank You for that, God. Thank You for these people that are here this morning. I love them. These are my friends. Lord, I thank You, God, for putting a good spirit in this place. Lord, just always, God, we need help from heaven. We pray that You'd give it. Thank You, Lord, for all these people, Lord, visiting with us online. The good people out in Kenya. I pray, God, that You'd richly bless them and bless this message. Lord, let it go into their hearts and their minds. The Spirit will say things in them and to them, God, that I can't. So I just pray, God, that You would bless my best or my worst effort, whatever it turns out to be this morning. God, You would bless Your Word. We ask for Your help. We ask for Your grace. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. Psalm 63, verse 1. He says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. See, this is what you find when you read the Bible. You find out you won't learn much about the soul from other people, because other people don't know how to define the soul. They didn't know. Some people don't even believe they have one, and I do. You got one. God said you did. When He made you, He put His soul in you. You became a living soul. God breathed His breath into you. You're alive today because you have a soul, and you know it. So we study the Bible and find out how the soul operates, what it is that it needs. Oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Same chapter, Psalm 63, verse 5. He said, My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And aren't you glad that God said it's okay for you to eat a little fat every now and then? Amen.
Amen.
Bacon fat. Beef fat. Okay? Just the fat and the marrow. Lisa will make ham and beans. And the best way she knows how to do it, and I love it, she'll get a ham hock. Don't throw them away.
Amen.
You put that down in your beans and you cook your beans like in a crock pot slow cook or something like that. What it does, it pulls all that fat from that what's left over on there, and it pulls the marrow out of that bone, and it flavors it. Listen, if you ain't had beans like that, you ain't had them. Amen. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. God will satisfy your soul, but He won't do it with ham and beans. He's got something different for your soul. And my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. You eat a good meal, you sit back and you feel satisfied, knowing that that food's going to work in you. It's going to give you life. Your cells are going to draw from that nourishment. It's going to keep you going. It's going to give you happiness. When we get, there's a word out called hangry. Who in here gets hangry? You know what that means? You get irritable and hateful when you get hungry. Think about your soul. Because when you get hungry and you get mad at people and you're sitting at a restaurant table and you're having to wait on your food, the longer you wait, the angrier you get. Don't lie about it. You do. I do. And when we finally get the meal and get it in us, you say, boy, that was good. That was worth it. Boy, I think I want some more of that. You have to think about your soul too. The prayer that Jesus taught us when the disciples came to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, He did not say, recite this prayer, say these words after Me and God will give you blessings. It's a model prayer. He said, pray after this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, say it with me, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here it is. Give us this day our what? Daily bread. Daily bread. Was He just talking about biscuits? Sandwich bread? Yeast rolls? Was He just talking crackers? Cookies? Cake? Was He just talking about that? He's talking about what our soul requires. Daily bread. When God gave in Exodus 16, when God promised Israel He's going to give them manna, God gave them, they wake up in the morning and scattered all over that field was these little bitty seeds like coriander seeds that looked like frost. And what that was manna. They would take it just like they would like flour or corn, and they would beat it with a mortar and pestle and turn it into a flour and make cakes out of it. And the Bible says it tasted like honey. I'm all for that. Amen. I love biscuits and butter and honey. Somebody say amen. That's what God gave them, good food to eat. You know what they did? You know what them Jews did? The Bible says they loathed that light bread. They ate it and they got sick of it. They said, we don't want this anymore. We want something. We want meat. We want blood, muscle. That's what we want. And God cursed them with that. But every day, God made a provision for His people in the wilderness. Every day, God sent manna down from heaven so that they could live and eat. He gave them twice as much on Friday so that they would not break the Sabbath law. And if they tried to gather too much, what would happen to it? They'd find worms in it. And if they gathered too little on Friday, and they went out looking on the Sabbath day for manna to be on the ground, they'd have to go into prayer and fasting that day because they didn't have anything. But God provided for His people daily nourishment. And we know what that's a picture of. It's a picture of Christ. He's the bread that God sends down from heaven. His Word is that bread to us. Psalm 107. You can turn there if you want. Verse 5. Hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Think about this. Think about what your Bible's telling you. If you go without food, I'm kind of in a deal right now. I've had diabetes now for several years. And I had a problem with my blood sugar getting too high. And I've lost all this weight. And now my body can't figure out if it's diabetic or hypoglycemic. Can't figure it out. My body doesn't know what it is yet. And sometimes my blood sugar will get a little high and sometimes it'll just drop. And I know it. Because then I get shaky. I can't think straight. My dad had diabetes and he struggled with it. And his blood sugar would go down in the 30s. And he would just be out of his mind. Okay? Dangerous stuff. You can't talk to somebody like that. It was just a bad time for him. When you're hungry and thirsty in your flesh, you can't work. You can't think straight. You can't do right. You get faint. You'll get so needful of nourishment that you'll literally pass out. Your soul does that same thing. And you're wondering why things are not right. You're wondering why something don't feel right around you. And when I get that, I've learned enough to know that it's probably because my soul is starving to death. Did you know that somebody can be the greatest cook in the world and serve food all day long and never eat a bite of it? That was our Meemaw. When we go down to see Meemaw and Peepaw, Meemaw would cook and cook and cook and make sure everybody had this and had that. And sometimes she'd just forget to eat or just didn't have time for it or wasn't enough left. She didn't get much. And I found in the ministry that it's real easy for me. God bless you guys. See you, Frankie. Love you guys. I found in the ministry sometimes it's real easy for me to forget to eat. And I'll be so busy giving to everybody else that I'll fail to give for myself and my own needs. And I have them just like everybody. I'm not any different than anybody else. Isn't that something that a preacher will forget to feed off the Word of God? Not think about it? Or pretend like he doesn't need it that day? I get all that stuff. Listen, I'm just like everybody else here. I had those days. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Verse 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Proverbs 10, verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. God would not allow you to starve to death. He will not suffer, not allow the soul of the righteous to famish. God promised you that He would always feed you. Always. The end of life. Again, every single day. For 40 years, God fed them every day in the wilderness. Every day, every day, every day. God did that for them. They finally got to the promised land and God stopped sending the manna. He said, now, I'm going to send you into Jericho. Whatever you find there, you can keep. You can now start living on your own. But every day God fed them. God promised that He would never, ever, ever dry up His Word to the righteous. I want you to underline that part of your Bible. But He casteth away the substance of the wicked. And I want you to ask yourself the question, what is in my life the one thing, or there may be two or three, what is it in my life that keeps me from reading my Bible? I guarantee you, you got one. You either don't read it because you're angry, you either don't read it because it'll make you feel guilty, or whatever the reason is, there's usually something going on in your life as a reason why you don't read the Bible. You won't listen to God's man preach. Doesn't always have to be me. You just don't want God to get in contact with you and your life because of the condition that you're in. God will cast away the substance of the wicked. He'll say, fine, you don't want the Bible, you don't want the Word, you don't want to be fed today, fine. I'm not going to let you touch it. I'm going to pull it away from you. Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Liberal soul shall be made fat. A liberal, this is in Bible terms. In political terms, I don't like liberals. In Christian terms, I don't like liberals. But when it comes to pouring your life out for the sake of other people and just giving and giving and giving, the liberal soul, God said, shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Paul talked about this when he referenced those who are in the ministry. I do not work outside of this church. God provided for the Levite priests that they received a portion of what was brought in as sacrifice. God provides for His men who labor and do their work in the work of the Lord. And He said, you don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. In other words, the ox that is working the grinding mill, you don't just not feed him anything. He also gets to be a partaker of what was brought in, or else you won't have anybody to grind up your corn. So God provides that as well. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. And then verse 4, the soul of the sluggard, you know what a sluggard is, don't you? A sluggard's a slug. A slug is that little deal inside that little shell that just kind of squirms around. And how fast does a slug move? Slugs are like sloths. They're lazy. I'll get to that in a few days kind of stuff. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Who in here is in agreement with me that in this country, if you are able to work, you should work and not get free handouts?
Amen.
I knew you'd say that. So I'm going to get mean just for a little bit. Why then would you, who says, if you can work, you should work, and if you don't work, you should starve? Why is it that you would say amen to that? But the only Bible you've gotten so far in the last 7 days was what I just read to you. That is Christian welfare. It's not that you can't read the Bible. It's not that you've been in a coma all week. It's just you didn't. And you're a lazy sluggard and you're starving to death. And I've had people, trust me, leave out of here saying, well, that sermon's about as dry as old dead bones. I wish he'd preach on something else every now and then. Listen, if you're wanting something from God, go get it yourself if you don't get it from me. Get your lazy body up and open your Bible and spend time feeding yourself. All right, now I'm done being mean for a couple minutes. Turn to Amos chapter 8. This is what got me. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. This will scare you a little bit. Several years ago, I preached a sermon called the Open Book, the Closed Book, something like that. And I may revisit that sometime. It was a good lesson for us. I mean, if you have a Bible in your house, say amen. Okay? But you went for days not reading it. Days. Maybe even weeks without reading it. And here's something that's going to jar you a little bit. It's going to shake you a little bit. Did you know that more than likely God had something to do with that? Because I can tell you, listen, I've been in this thing for a long time. A lot of you have too. I've seen people come in, have a big crying spell at the altar, pretend to make everything right, and go out and just live just like the world again. And it's just kind of like water on a duck's back. It just hits them and it just rolls off. And I've seen that happen over and over and over again. And God had something to do with that. And I'm going to show you that. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Are you there? Say amen. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but, here it is, of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. They're not going to be able to find it. God deliberately is going to withdraw His blessing, and He is going to remove out of you your desire to feed from manna sent from heaven, from the Word of God. Why would God do that? Does God do that? He said, He clearly said here, Amos 8, and if you study this out, you go get the background of Amos chapter 8, you'll see that it was because of their wickedness that God said, and if you just study the word famine. Because man, I was looking at that last night when God got a hold of me about this deal. I kept seeing famine all throughout the Old Testament. And you know why God would do that? He was judging His people. He was judging them. God said, you're going to go worship Baal? You're going to follow after him? You're going to turn your back on me? Fine. I'm going to send a sword. I'm going to send a pestilence in your land. And I'm going to send famine into your land. And you won't eat. You'll be so hungry. You know what they did? They got so hungry, Scotty, that they ate their own children. You ask yourself the question, moms and dads, how is it that you're destroying your own children because of your refusal to repent? Refusal to repent. Refusal to open a Bible up and read it. You guys know me. You know that I'm not about works and you have to do this and you have to do that in order to be saved or to stay saved. But what I'm telling you is there's two very, very easy and simple things that everybody in this building and probably just about everybody listening to me can do. And that is prayer and Bible reading, prayer and Bible reading, prayer and Bible reading. You got problems in your life, you want me to tell you what to do? Pray about it, read your Bible. Pray about it, read your Bible some more. Pray about it, read your Bible. You know what God will do? God will do things that you never saw coming. He'll bless you in ways you never thought possible. God will do that for you. Prayer and Bible reading. Prayer and Bible reading. It's the seed. It's when it goes into the ground, when it goes into the good soil. It will bring forth the fruit. You don't have to tell seeds what to do. They automatically know what it is. But God sends famine to people that have already turned their backs on God. Jeremiah 14, verse 13. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold the prophet saying to them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Now watch this now. Here you have the prophets, which are the preachers of today's world, the preachers of the health and wealth and prosperity mindset, and the preachers who are so, I don't know what the word to use is, they've gotten so worldly and so far away from God, that their whole church caters to lost people and they say, you tell us what you want to hear from us and that's what we'll tell you. That's what harlots do. Amen. Rick Warren's whole ministry is based upon the fact that he went out in Orange County, California, one of the wealthiest counties in America, went out and asked all those rich, lost people, what would it take to get you in our church? Well, we don't like that hard preaching. Okay, check. Yeah, we'd like kind of a toned down service where we'd come in our flip flops and our short shorts and like we're gonna go to the beach right after that, so we're wearing clothes that ain't right. That's what we want. Check. Yeah, we don't like that Rock of Ages, Sweat for Me kind of music anymore. Check. Take it out. And he went and catered to all these lost people and look, it worked. He's got a huge mega church now, doesn't he? These are the preachers who will tell you, oh, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to do all this. God's just waiting for you to serve Him because God can't wait for you to get here. God will always do these good things for you. They won't preach that there's a famine coming. They won't preach that there's a sword coming. And anybody who knows anything about the Bible knows that God's fixing to do something in this country. And it ain't going to be pretty. He rocked Oklahoma yesterday. Did you see that? Verse 14, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught. That means it's nothing. And the deceit of their hearts. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say sword and famine shall not be in this land. God says, by sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. They'll tell you, oh, God loves you. God would never hurt you. God would never judge you. We don't judge you. The preacher that I'm fixing to put up on the screen is exactly that way. Oh, God wants you as you are. If you want to be queer as sodomites, oh, that's okay with us. We don't judge in our church. And I told you that same man preached the message because he had a couple in his church, and the man left his wife to be in a sodomite relationship with another man. This other man started going to the church too. And the pastor, the only thing that he condemned was the fact that this man was committing adultery. He said, all you gotta do is divorce your wife now and it'll be okay for you to be sleeping with this other man. God said, you want to be that way? Fine. I'm going to consume you with the very thing that you say God's not in it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Verse 16, I already read that. And the people to whom they prophesy, watch this now. It's not just the preachers, but the people who sit and listen to them. The people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives and their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. God's going to send famine. Maybe, you listen to me now, maybe God already has in your life. I'm asking you to ask yourself, when's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you got the thing out, opened it up, and started reading? When's the last time you tried to memorize a verse out of the Bible? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If I were to ask everybody in this church stand up and quote five verses from memory from the King James Bible, would you be able to do it? I won't do it. I don't believe in embarrassing people like that. But when's the last time you memorized something out of your Bible? When's the last time you read it? And here's what I'm saying to you. It may be more than just you not having the time to do it or making the time to do it. It may have everything to do with God is already passing a judgment on you and He has taken His Word away from you. Does everybody understand that? God already knew that you didn't want anything to do with it to begin with. God says, fine, I'll take it away. Well, that's scary. 1 Samuel chapter 14, here's King Saul. There's a wonderful illustration in here. Saul's the leader. Saul's the king. I want you to get this. Because I am. I'm going to put a quote up on the screen. And if you love God and you love the Bible, it's going to make you mad. Here's a preacher now that is not only not giving his people the Word of God, he is, by his actions and his statements, forbidding people to read the Bible. Saul did this. Saul was fighting a war. And in verse 24, it says, and the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on my enemies, so none of the people tasted any food. Saul was an idiot. The best thing that we can do for our soldiers and our boys out on the field is feed them and feed them well. Amen. Best thing in the world to do. Send money over there so that our boys have plenty of good food to eat. Those MREs, those meals ready to eat, dehydrated food packs they carry around, those things are loaded with calories. If you don't fight a battle, you'll get fat very quickly. But you know why? It's to nourish those men so they can go out and do the things they do every day. Some of them won't see the inside of a mess hall back at the base camp for days, maybe even weeks. Saul was an idiot telling his people, If I see anybody eating any food until the evening, until we get this enemy done, I'll curse them. Guess who did it? Saul's own son, Jonathan. Watch this. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth. Y'all know what honey is in the Bible, don't you? It's the Bible. Because Saul had already told him, you don't need to eat that Bible. You don't need to eat that. I'll curse you if you do. Because Saul had already said that, they refused to do it. But Jonathan, verse 27, Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it into a honeycomb. Lisa and I was at an Amish store the other day. They've got big jars full of honey. I love honey. There was a jar that had honeycomb in it. How much was that, dear? About $17, $18 for just a little dab of honeycomb. And anybody has ever eaten honeycomb? You know why. It is good. And it's full of that sugar. Bee vomit. Who to thunk it? Amen? Bees puke. And we go, oh, Lord, we love that. God's Word is a honeycomb. Jonathan dipped it in a honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth. And look at what it says. His eyes were enlightened. Let me tell you something. There are some things going on in your life. They are the reason why you don't want to read your Bible, because you don't want the light turned on. And look at it from the physical standpoint. Your blood sugar gets low. What's the first thing you need? You want to take in sugar, like honey or something like that, to get it back up quickly. And instantly, you just feel better. Trust me, I've been there. But look at the spiritual side of it. You're just starving to death. You open some page out of the Bible, start reading, and all of a sudden, God just opens your eyes wide open. You're just going, God, that was the greatest thing in the world. Thank you for giving me that blessing. Here's what the man said. This was sent to me again by a family that I think are watching this morning. God bless you guys up in Canada. Those are the people that put the eh and the amen. Okay? This is what this nationally known, famous, mega church, coffee shop preacher said. His quote is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now he's saying that in a mocking way. He said, this is where our trouble began. He said, the implication is, the Bible is the reason we believe. I can believe Jesus loves me because it's in the Bible. The problem with that is this. If the Bible is the foundation of our faith, as the Bible goes, so goes our faith. If the Bible is the foundation of our faith, it is all or nothing.
Amen!
Amen. Christianity becomes a fragile house of cards religion. Christianity becomes a fragile house of cards that comes tumbling down when we discover that perhaps the walls of Jericho didn't. You know what he's telling you? He's telling you, oh, the archaeologists have been to Jericho and they determined that the walls didn't really fall down. But we know that! Scientists say that there is no whale on the earth that is capable of swallowing a whole man and holding it in his stomach. Bully on that! Science has determined the earth is 3.5 million years old and we used to be monkeys. Nonsense!
Amen.
Listen, this man hates the Bible. He said, everything rises and falls on whether not part, but all of the Bible is true. It is true, you idiot! What is wrong with you? And he said, that's unfortunate, and as we are going to discover today, unnecessary. The Christian faith does not exist because of the Bible. The Bible exists because of the Christian faith. Liar! Man's a liar! There's the quote. Those of you watching online, you can go dig it up. Guess who said this? Andy Stanley. He is the son of Charles Stanley. Look at this. Look at this one. He's got up here, we look to our religious traditions. Our problem is tradition, systemized, customized, or overemphasized and fossilized. The Bible said to follow the traditions given to us by the apostles. Paul told that to Timothy. Look at what he said here. He said, guys that preach verse by verse through books of the Bible, he said, that is just cheating. It's cheating because that would be easy. First of all, that isn't how you grow people. He's a liar! Deceiving people! In church! Telling them, oh, don't read your Bible. Reading your Bible is bad. You won't get anything from God reading your Bible. Because the Bible may be wrong, and if the Bible's wrong, then your faith is wrong. You know what? He's right on that, but I'm going to tell you something, sir. The Bible is not wrong. Never has been, never will be. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Makes me sick. Watch this now. Listen. That man is already been judged by God. Ezekiel 14. Turn there. I'm going to start reading while you're turning. The Word, because I'm getting hungry. The Word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and I will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. This man may be thinking that because Daddy was a preacher, and Daddy accepted all of it, then I'll be okay because I'm his son. God said, so what if I save his daddy? That's not going to protect you. And I'm just saying, I don't know anything about this man other than what I just showed you. But you know what I suspect based upon what I just read you out of the Bible? I suspect that he has grievous transgressions behind the scenes. That's what I think. Isaiah 32:6. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. That's what he did. People are coming to church because they need food for their soul. And the preacher causes them, he empties their soul and causes them to be hungry by telling them, oh, don't eat that Bible. That's not where it is. You know what he just said to everybody? Follow me. I'll give you the truth. I'm almost done. Proverbs 13:25. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Isn't that true? We don't. If you've got a big stomach, you don't just eat a little bit. You pack her in. Somebody say amen. Amen. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb. They've connected it. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Look at this. Proverbs 27:7. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Let me tell you what that means. I want to let you go on this one. When you have fattened yourself up on everything this world has to offer, let me tell you something. That's why you're not hungry for the Word of God. And when you're not hungry for the Word of God, you will not eat the honeycomb. But when you've been starving to be fed, and you finally decide to break open that Bible, and you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Ecclesiastes is full of lots of things that we don't want to hear. Amen. Did you know that even when you partake of that and eat that, you'll be happy even though it's bitter words? You'll love it. The Bible doesn't always have to be sweet to me. God doesn't always have to give me things. Some things I don't like, but I got to take them anyway. Somebody told me I got leg cramps real bad. Somebody told me drink apple cider vinegar. Are you crazy? I don't like vinegar. But you know what? I'll try it. Not everything that's good for me is going to taste good. But when you get sick and tired of everything else, you'll eat it. Jerry Clower told this story. These two farmers were talking. One of them said, yeah, what do you feed your dog? The farmer said, well, I feed my dog dog food. What do you feed your dog? He said, turnip greens. The farmer said, ooh, my dogs would never eat turnip greens. He said, mine didn't eat them for a month. Listen, when you're out filling your soul with all this rotten fast food, junk food, junk from this world, no wonder you are not hungry for your Bible. And that's where America is right now. That's where Andy Stanley is. That's where a growing number of churches are. But when you've been starving to death, you'll open that Bible up and you'll read just about anything. And you'll love it. Be glad you've got it. I want you to bow your head.